Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
4 o'clock on Friday can only mean one thing. From St. Joe to Sao Paulo to Santa Clara, he's there every step of the way, and nobody knows the Chiefs like Nate Taylor.
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle.
Now of ESPN, join CDOT on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, welcome back into the show. We are waiting for Nate Taylor to join us in studio. Certainly a lot to talk about regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. We are putting I don't know if bow on their season would be the correct term. It's certainly not a gift I would want to receive the year that the Kansas City Chiefs has. As we wait for Nate, I want to play this for you. This is what he said a couple of days ago regarding Rashee Rice.
I want to make it very clear to the audience that there's been no police report filed for domestic abuse, whether that's in Dallas, Texas, which I believe is where she lives now, and obviously in Kansas, which is where she lived over the past, couple of seasons. It's really grim. Football obviously takes a third, fourth step back to all of this, but if the allegations are true, if there's evidence to corroborate what she said, then it spells doom for Rashee Rice's football career, in my opinion. And so we'll just keep on it in terms of the reporting and see if she comes forward with a police report. That is yet to happen. But, domestic violence is terrible. We all know this. It's horrific. The damage it does to the victims, the fact that there are two children involved, basic tragic in a lot of ways. So, just honestly terrible based on the appearance of it. Now we're just going to try to see, and I know the NFL is involved. The Chiefs are aware of this. We should probably make that clear too. Mm-hmm. They're probably trying to gather as much research or as much, information and evidence as we can, or the public, will hopefully be interested in demanding as this moves forward.
So we're happy to have Nate Taylor joining us in studio. Nate, if there's no update, I completely understand it.
Mm-hmm.
As we are just starting this thing, one thing that's very interesting to me about this story is it's not like the NFL voices have really started talking about this yet.
Correct.
The only thing we have right now is one Instagram post.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we have additional information from you. We don't have additional information from Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter, which you would assume comes from either Rashee Rice's agent or the team.
Yep.
Right now, as we are sitting here, 72 hours after this was just loaded onto the internet.
Correct.
There really is no development. There's no anything in this. So, at least for me, and I imagine you're taking the same stance, I'm kind of taking a wait and see approaches because now it wasn't the exact same, but Xavier Worthy was in a situation last year and the situation just kind of went away. He agreed to give her a little bit of money. They released a joint statement that they were going to move in different directions.
Correct.
And the story just never came up again.
Right.
Like, this is not the first time that an athlete has been accused of this on social media. There is a little bit of kind of smoke around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the story just kind of goes away. I don't really know what to make of it with just the amount of information we have right now.
Well, there's not a lot of levers, you know, legally, unless this woman comes forward. And what I mean by that is law enforcement, whether you would want to file a police report or restraining order, there's really no record of Rashee Rice being accused on paper. All we have, as you said earlier, is this Instagram post, which is still up. So it's been on Instagram for basically 48 hours, you know, because I think it was posted like around mid-afternoon on Wednesday. We've done some reporting. We're continuing to do reporting here at ESPN. The NFL is conducting its own investigation, but I'm not sure they've actually talked to the woman who has made these accusations in regards to Rashee Rice. You know, I think from a legal standpoint, we have to acknowledge that she doesn't name Rashee Rice in the Instagram post.
It's just assumed who it is.
But you can surmise.
For sure.
Because they have children together, as I said in the earlier clip this week, that she is accusing him, which is basically what we wrote on ESPN.com, I guess, Wednesday night. I have talked to people in and around Dallas. You know, it's tricky because the NFL will say, okay, we would like for this to go through the legal process, right? If you're going to make allegations and claims, it's really not our jobs to figure out whether that's true or not. We would like the legal process to handle that, law enforcement, its own investigation. We will conduct our own. Obviously, if people aren't aware, like the NFL tries to interview as many people as they can. Now, they can't subpoena people. They can't say, hey, you have to come talk to us. So she has not said anything public since this has come out. You know, Rashee Rice's agents have not said anything. They have no comment. Basically, their comment is, we have no comment. The Chiefs have not really said anything since their own statement, which was Wednesday night. So, no, there's not a lot of new information, and I'm not sure when she's going to be making, you know, a public statement, whether that's with someone who is representing her or whether that's going to be in the form of an actual, you know, police document or actual report on paper. But if that hasn't happened yet, I do want to make it clear, like, let's say this mysteriously doesn't go anywhere, right?
But, and sorry to cut you off,
but
like, I'm not even really sure if it's that mysterious because, like, in the real world,
mm-hmm.
how far does she want to take this? Is she willing to cooperate with the NFL in their investigation?
I don't know.
How much information is she willing to turn over to the National Football League?
Like, correct.
They're not a law enforcement agency.
Correct.
So the NFL could reach out to this woman and say, we want to sit down and talk to you. And she could just say, no, I
right.
don't want to talk to
right.
you. I did what I wanted to. I exposed this person on social media. Now the stain of what you are accused of is out there, and that's
yes.
as far as I'm willing to take it. Like, so what I'm saying is, like, in this, I could see everything happening in which the Chiefs just move on from Rashee Rice and he is suspended by the league. I can see just nothing happening and this story never going anywhere.
Right.
It really depends on what she wants to do.
So for context, if people haven't seen the Instagram post or they're just not aware, the mother of his two children with her has put seven images or seven slides, you could say, of physical abuse. And these are at different parts of the body, face, lips, forearms, legs, shoulder, chest. It seems, as I said in the earlier clip, it just seems horrible. We can't confirm this. I have not confirmed this. I don't think anybody else has confirmed this. I don't know who she's talked to, Carrington, if she's talked to anybody, whether publicly or again, from a law enforcement standpoint, the NFL could, I mean, it doesn't take much for the NFL to get to people based on my understanding. So she could have already said no. I don't know that for sure. It's just the way this usually goes is there's a paper trail. There is virtually no paper trail other than this, to your point. Like, hey, if this is the move you want to make and you want to expose this person for who they are, yeah, then it really does put the Chiefs in an you know, an unusual situation given his own track record and his, and you know, his past transgressions. I just, you know, I would just like for the NFL to do its best, you know, just from a public standpoint. I would hope that, and this is a educated guess, but my hope is that somebody sees this and can at least alert Dallas PD so that she does have the chance to say something if she chooses and wants to. She should have the, you know, if you're going to make this accusation on a social media website, I think based on these photos, based on talking to some people, this may have occurred in Dallas more so than Kansas. Or she references Kansas and she references Dallas, essentially. You know, there's, as I said earlier, multiple photos. She says that this has gone on in a, you know, this jumped out to me, in a span of 8 years. So that would include NFL career and college career, or how maybe as long as they've known each other, or the majority of how long they've known each other. If all that is the case, and this is serious allegations, clearly, you would like to see this be investigated. The other thing I will say, too, is on an image and optic standpoint, the NFL could just put him on the commissioner's list if they really wanted to.
For sure.
And that could remove the decision from the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs can make their own decision, whether we get to accurate information or not, or further information or not. Who knows? But the NFL could make a decision if it really wanted to. And I know you guys have probably talked about this before, but they've made suspensions for violating the league's personal conduct policy without there being, some legal situation that has come to its conclusion, right? If it's handled or if there's a plea deal or anything of that, like if there are no charges and there are no arrests or there's no, you know, significant punishment from a legal standpoint, the NFL has chosen in the past to still suspend players, again, based on the way it looks and the lack of information that they could either surmise or what law enforcement could do. And so they say, hey, just based on everything we can indicate and everything we can understand so far, you're going to get suspended.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor. I'm trying to find the right way to word this with Rashee Rice. My biggest thing is, how sustainable is this from this model? I don't care what business you are in. It mm-hmm. is a results-oriented, production-oriented mm-hmm. business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rashee Rice has been okay. He has not been a great.
I'd say he's a bit above okay, but we're in the same ballpark.
He's not Justin Jefferson. He's not Jamal. Like, we're not talking about.
Correct.
He is
star.
Not
star. We're not talking about star player.
He's a good NFL player.
Yes.
For the last, I would say, 16 months, mm-hmm. we have spent more time talking about Rashee Rice off the field than we have spent talking about him on the field.
Yep.
So my question is, regardless if this happened, didn't happen, I have absolutely no clue about it. But basically, since the Chiefs won the Super Bowl against Philadelphia, we have either been talking about Rashee Rice for being hurt or for something he has done off the field.
Mm-hmm.
It's going on 2 years now mm-hmm. since this has been the case.
Yeah.
And, 2 years.
And, you know, it's from a football standpoint, it's unfortunate that he started the, you know, after he served his 6-game suspension, he started his quote unquote truncated season really well. And then it obviously did not improve. Over the course of, like, he didn't have a great December, right? I think his last, you could say, very good game was against Dallas on Thanksgiving. I mean, look, every NFL team has a lot of information on these players. They have to, you know, make a judgment for themselves. And to your point, Carrington, we've talked about Rashee Rice in a negative context or in a mysterious context or in a non-football related incident.
For a long period of time.
And again, these are judgments, right? We all get to make decisions in life. He made a course of very poor decisions, which he's acknowledged when it comes to the crash in North Dallas on Easter weekend, I believe, of 2024. Per my understanding, he's got still an entire civil lawsuits to take care of from a financial standpoint. Those have yet to be really, you know, fulfilled in the manner that it was agreed upon between the victims and who represented Rashee and what Rashee agreed to.
He probably ain't got the money.
That is their argument.
Yeah, man. That, I mean, if we're being
that is yes.
Like yes. I know we think these guys are rich, but by the time taxes come out, you got to take care of your people.
Yep,
but, you got to take care of your kids and everything else. Mm-hmm. And now you just got millions of dollars to give these other people. So I'm just gonna guess that like most people think athletes have the at this level. Mahomes has a lot of money.
Correct.
I'm assuming the average person thinks that Rashee Rice has way more money than he actually has.
But in court, you agreed to something where you were gonna pay someone a certain amount of time on a certain date,
and you haven't done it.
Correct. So there's both. I think that's where there's friction, even when it comes to that situation. So, again, we don't know if any of this is true, right? This is an allegation of serious nature, and we know nothing else beyond that that we can say is pinpoint truthful. Again, reporting takes time on this. We will, you know, when will we find out if she's willing to speak about this publicly? Whether to law enforcement, interviews, the NFL, who knows? You know, like the Chiefs could, I'm assuming, reach out to her as well, or someone within her family, and they can choose. You know, it's up to them whether they want to come more forward based on what she put out there. You know, it's in all caps to start the post, domestic awareness warning. So if it's a warning, okay. I don't know what necessarily it completely means for Rashee Rice, but it's not, it's, again, from an optics standpoint, it's terrible, you know, because we all can surmise that logistically she is accusing him of being a terrible partner in a span of 8 years. And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the allegation that we're discussing.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor of ESPN. Nate, let's change it just a little bit, but still one of the bigger stories with the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's say I give you $1 million right now if you get this correct. Who is the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs week one?
Oh, come on.
Week one. $1 million on
the line. I got to pick somebody right now?
Who's the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs week one?
Okay, let's go through the process of elimination.
All right, we can do that. I'm happy to do that.
I think Mike McDaniel should probably be a head coach somewhere next year, right? It will. I don't think it'll be Matt Nagy. So we can remove those two off the rip. Haven't heard Mike Kafka's name much. So I'm going to take him out of discussion.
Interesting.
Right? Haven't heard his name.
I would have guessed that he was near the top of the list.
As surprising as has been to me, no one has said, oh, yeah, Mike Kafka. Yeah, definitely discuss him. Like, no one's really put Mike Kafka and the Chiefs together. You know, God, it's been 5 days since the season ended for both teams, Giants, Chiefs. So in the past week. Okay. Flip of a coin. I think there's more advantages to the second person I'm going to mention. If there are more openings after this wild card round, I'm sure you know which coaches we're discussing or who might be, you know, on a hot seat based on how their team performs in the opening round of the playoffs.
I'm going to guess that one of these jobs is coming open. That's just what I'm going to guess. You and I both know. We talk about copycat league from a positive standpoint.
Yes.
It's also a copycat league from, you know, you see everybody else buying stuff. I got to buy stuff now. You see everybody else making changes. You now feel like you got to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
So one of these teams that ends up losing in the wild card round.
Yeah.
One of them, Packers, one of these teams are firing their head coach for sure.
Eagles, Bills. These are all possibilities.
Or Tuesday, the number one story is not going to be the divisional round. It's going to be, I can't believe that the Packers job is open 100%.
So if that happens and there are more available openings, Cliff Kingsbury might have a better chance of being a second-time head coach himself, which leads to probably, based on my estimation, the leader right now is Eric Bieniemy.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard Nathan Shulhouse's name? Because I've seen his name pop up a lot.
No. Haven't heard it.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
Well, think about it from this standpoint. Teams can make requests next week as well. So it's not necessarily a negative thing, but it's not, I mean, I'm just telling you, like, no, I haven't heard his name tied to the Chiefs at all. Those reports, I don't think there has been a report with him tied.
I haven't really seen tied to anybody. I've just seen his name pop up a lot.
Yes, I know Chiefs fans understand that he's coming from the McVay tree, which has been quite fruitful. I love the like, if someone was able to blend McVay and Andy's concepts, that would be awesome to see with a, you know, hopefully healthy Patrick Mahomes next season. But no, the Chiefs, if they wanted to, I mean, or any team for that matter, they could make a request next week, whether the Rams win or whether the Rams season is over. I think they'll win against the Carolina Panthers on Saturday, but I have not heard his name tied to the Chiefs.
Have you seen Brian Daboll's name pop up?
You know, I know not definitively. I know that's an interesting choice, right? Because he might not, you know, this may sound puzzling to some people, but there's a chance that, like, Matt Nagy's a head coach next year and Brian Daboll isn't, right? So if that happens, then, yeah, it would make Brian Daboll an interesting option for offensive coordinator right now. So
Brian Daboll, to me, just has – he has, like, Ohio State offensive coordinator just written all over. We all know how this works.
Like, hey, he can go back to Alabama.
100%. Just – you go to college, you ball out for a year, mm-hmm. you kind of get those 1 or 2 years, you take a team to a playoff, and then you find yourself right back in the National Football League. Like, he has high-level college offensive coordinator written all over it.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I think it could be a good career move. We've seen people do that before. You know, it's still murky, I guess would be the best way of saying it. Like, the only thing that we are pretty much close to guaranteeing is that Matt Nagy will not be back next season, which means you will have an opening at the offensive coordinator position. It doesn't appear, as of right now, that Andy would promote from within his coaching staff.
When you say that Matt Nagy's not going to be back, do you think that's his decision or Andy's decision?
I think it's mutual. Like, I think what's the fair way I could say this? And excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, but, like, Matt Nagy wants to be a head coach. So we can just say that. We know that to be true. He danced around the question for like a month towards the end of the season with the Chiefs out of contention. But we know his intentions, right? Andy's going to promote Matt Nagy. He's going to be obviously a great reference point if an owner or if a general manager wants to reach out. Clearly, he's been tied to Mike Bergonzi since the moment Mike Bergonzi became in charge in Tennessee. And we had kind of known, I mean, in NFL circles, that he was going to be part of this regime change, in essence, in Tennessee. So that makes a lot of sense. He's got support from Brett Veach. We all know that. I just think in a similar, not identical, but in a similar way, like, the Chiefs are more than comfortable promoting guys like they tried to do with Eric Bieniemy, like they did with Ryan Poles, Brent Tillis. You know, the list is, you know, pretty extensive, actually. Chris Ballard, I mean, he can go all the way back to, but Chris Ballard was like 2016, 2017, somewhere in there. So this is what Andy does. Andy's like, hey, come back home. You know, you helped the team win a Super Bowl in 2022. They won another Super Bowl with you as the primary offensive coordinator after Eric Bieniemy left in 2023. You got back to the Super Bowl last year. It didn't work out this year for a variety of reasons, which we've all discussed. But this league is still offensive in mind. And this league is not, as much as people's own opinions are about Matt Nagy or other coaches, this league is not afraid to hire somebody a second time. If they are, you know, willing to express themselves in a way that they're going to change things, or they got, you know, they've learned about themselves, because obviously running an NFL team for the first time is audacious to begin with, whether or not the team is good or not, or you have a quarterback or not. But yeah, I just think the Chiefs understand that, like, hey, he's a free agent. Like, we will do our best to help him. We think he's obviously talented. And if he gets an opportunity for a second chance at a head coaching job, like, celebrate and congratulate him.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Why don't we do this? So step aside here, Rob. We're kind of in that weird. I know we're up against the break here. I want to ask you about Travis Kelce coming up on the other side. What do you think he potentially is going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how you would kind of rank their offseason needs. The last time we're going to talk to you for a while. You're heading into this. This is what I think the Chiefs need to do heading into the offseason. They've got a couple, I think, obvious decisions.
Yep.
But I also think, like, this organization needs to do one thing that shocks us this offseason.
Mm.
They have to do one thing that I can't see coming. So I was a little bit disappointed when I asked you offensive coordinator. It's like, well, Eric Bieniemy's coming back. Well, wait. That's not the end. Like, I want them to be thinking new and fresh and different,
mm-hmm.
and not just continuing to recycle the same names of people. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on that. We'll do that next. We got Nate Taylor in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription.
Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Nate, obviously I'm not telling you that you're wrong. If you're hearing Eric Bieniemy's name, then you're hearing Eric Bieniemy as the next offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. It just doesn't excite me, and I guess I'm not sure if they understand what the problem is. I think the problem is they have been stuck in this cycle of only being willing to hire the same five coaches. Whenever they have a need, they're only interested in the same 10 players for that need. When they need a wide receiver, well, let's see what Juju's doing. Let's see what Mecole Hardman is doing. When they need a defensive, the fact that at the trade deadline, we spent as much time arguing about Colin Saunders that we were doing.
Right.
Like everybody, bring Colin Saunders back. The fact that when the Chiefs clearly couldn't stop the run, clearly needed, they got to bring back Mike Pinnell.
Uh-huh.
That's the problem. They have conditioned people to think this way. And now they have an offensive coordinator opening. They got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Right.
They could go get, in theory, just about anybody that they want to go fill this position, to come in and learn under Andy and go off in a couple of years and be a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And the only person they can think about is Eric Bieniemy.
I'm not saying he's the only person. I'm just saying as of right now.
Name one person that hasn't worked for Andy in the past. Everybody you've named has worked for Andy in the past.
Hey, comes down to one word, my friend. Loyalty. Loyalty. I know it might not invigorate the fan base the way they would like to see a new person, maybe. And look,
I think it would for a lot of people. This is why. I think it's one of those things with Bieniemy, and I want Eric Bieniemy to have success.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the absence has made the heart grow fonder, because I remember when Eric Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator and people hated Eric Bieniemy. And now he's become a superhero since he has been gone, when he had prime Travis Kelce,
yes,
prime Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Like, I just, there is not a person who over the last 5 years, their opinion has shifted so drastically than Eric Bieniemy's opinion in Kansas City.
Look, I don't have to go through his resume or his credentials, but like Eric Bieniemy is a very good coach. We know this, and we know this about Mike McDaniel, and we know this about, I know somebody on the text line said, what about Doug Peterson? Doug Peterson, we know, has won a Super Bowl. He's been a head coach, you know, twice now, Philadelphia and Jacksonville. I'm not sure it's going to go on with Doug Peterson, but thank you for the question, text line. We know this. When Eric Bieniemy was with the Chiefs, they did not have as many penalties. They were a focus group, a group that was disciplined. Eric Bieniemy was not afraid to get in anyone's face, whether you were Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. Obviously, the list goes on. Now, one of the things that, you know, and I love what Todd Monken said yesterday on that show about, like, you can't all get the credit and all get the blame. But Eric Bieniemy does get some of the credit about the development of certain players within the offense who played well entering the league. We know he's very good about the run game, how it's coordinated, how it matches up. He is obviously very good at running backs, given that's his background and where he came from. He's not afraid of analytics. I've said that before. He has been, and I think probably the biggest, one of the biggest, you know, on the pro categories for Eric Bieniemy is, hey, man, they were down 10. I will never forget this. They were down 10 points in that Super Bowl to Philly with Patrick Mahomes already wincing because he aggravated that ankle again. And what did they do coming out of halftime? They ran the ball 3 straight times. And so the coordinator who has gotten Andy Reid to run the ball the way most fans would like the ball to be ran, or for it to be a part of the offense that is not as predictable or as varied or has just an overall mentality of moving the offense forward, that has been Eric Bieniemy, right? I mean, so if they give, you know, this is any offensive coordinator, but like, hey, if they improve the offense with better players, if the offensive line, which had pretty good moments at times, continues to improve with Kingsley Suamata-Ia and Josh Simmons and all that, and we'll see what Jalen Moore does at right tackle, which appears to be, you know, we can assume that's where it's headed, then Andy Reid will say it's worked before, it can work again. And I think just about everybody would be on board. Clark Hunt has, you know, loves Eric Bieniemy. Andy Reid, we all know his willingness to, you know, to promote Eric Bieniemy as much as he can. And Patrick Mahomes, you know, as much as people like to talk about Cliff Kingsbury, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, they love Eric Bieniemy. Like, there's an understanding, and I think there's a reason that Travis Kelce mentioned Eric Bieniemy on his podcast a couple weeks ago, if people were listening.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor. You mentioned Travis Kelce. You mentioned his podcast.
Yes.
I'm not going to ask you to put yourself inside the mind of Travis Kelce.
Thank you.
I feel like what's happening is people hear one, oh, that means he's not playing. It's like, I have no clue. I don't know. I don't think Travis knows at this point. Let me ask you this, because I think this is the better way to do it.
Okay.
Because I think people are only talking about one side of the conversation. Does Travis want to play is one side of it. Travis Kelce is a free agent.
Yes.
He has to negotiate a deal with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
How much do you think Travis Kelce is willing to take in form of a pay cut to come back next year? Because because he has done so much, you can't disrespect him and be like, oh, hey.
He's still like a top five tight end.
Where you can't give him a $8 million deal, for example. But if we are removing your personal feelings about Travis Kelce, if I told you that the Chiefs, when people want new, fresh, younger, if I told you the Chiefs are going to spend $13 million on a 37-year-old tight end,
book it.
The text line would be no.
You got to book it. I'm sorry.
He's Travis Kelce.
I'm sorry.
We want him. Well, no.
Book it.
He's back.
I mean, I'm so glad you asked me in this particular manner because the very last question as a small group of reporters that we got to ask him after the game in Las Vegas was my question saying, hey, you've already acknowledged that you did everything you could in the offseason to get ready. You're still a very productive player. You still love playing football and being with the team. Okay, we've acknowledged all that in this short little interview right now. Okay, and I asked him, all right, how much of this comes down to the contract? Are you willing to play for less? or how much have you even thought about next year's contract if you've let it get to that point? And Travis, you know, 13-year veteran experience, you know, said, Nate, you know, that's I got to make the other decision first, the want to, before I make this decision.
That's half of the decision.
And that's fine. That's fine. But someone's still got to ask, hey, man, your contract was out there this year. I mean, I can double check this again.
He made $17 million this past season.
Well, I was going to get to this. His cap number was 19.8. So basically it was $20 million on a cap number for this season, which again, pretty large when you consider these things. I'm sorry, guys. I'm gonna name some trash tight ends compared to this man. TJ Hockenson's making 16 and a half, guys. David Njoku's making 13. Mark Andrews making 13. Cole Kmet, up and comer, going having a really good season. 12 and a half. Jake Ferguson, not even in the same ballpark as this man. Although Dak Prescott was just lighting it up this season. 12 and a half. You know, Pat Freiermuth. Again, I love Pat Freiermuth. Very reliable.
This is what I think is happening.
Making $12 million.
This is what I think is happening.
Caps going up, Carrington.
Nate, have you ever been in a situation with your wife? Where down in the basement, your wife says you need to clean up.
Uh-huh.
This is the analogy. Your wife says you need to clean up.
Then sure.
Then you start going downstairs.
Uh-huh.
And then you start saying, all right, well, let's throw this out. No, we can't throw that out. We can't throw this out.
This is a prime example of, ooh, it's nice outside. We should clean out the garage. We should clean out the garage, babe.
So I'm asking then. All year I sat here and people kept saying, we want new, we want different, we want new, we want fresh, we want new.
Sorry, guys.
Hold on.
Sorry.
So I'm saying it's going into next year. If the head coach is coming back, the quarterback is coming back.
Correct.
Let's say Rice is coming back. Let's say Worthy's coming back. Kelsey's coming back. Their offensive line's going to be the same.
Sure.
What changes do we think they're making then if this is the case? What's going to be different? So basically, basically, we think the goal for the 2026 Chiefs is the same offense plus a running back. That's it? That's the change for the team?
Whoa. My suggestions would be.
Calm me down. I apologize.
My suggestions would be running back, obviously. And you can do both. I'm okay with like getting a veteran, Breece Hall, and drafting someone if you feel that need to do it in the third or fourth round, like most NFL teams do. They could get a replacement for a Hollywood Brown if they wanted to, and I would like that player to be of a bigger frame, right? Giving you more variety in terms of like an actual X receiver possession type, can win contested catches, can like, you know, I said this earlier this week, but like it'd be nice if you could just like create Mike Evans in a lab and like just go give me another Mike Evans. But like,
are they going into another season where Travis Kelce is their number one option?
I mean, they can't, but I mean, he wasn't their number one option this year. But
he was.
He led the team, ladies and gentlemen. Travis Kelce at age 36 led the team in targets, receptions, first downs, touchdowns.
Because I'm just saying is whenever I look at the rest of the National Football League and I look at Seattle's offense, their offense is built around Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Who's incredible.
When I look at these other teams that Puka I think
Nacua.
Can win
Find the next Puka Nacua,
when
man.
When I look at the Rams offense, their Rams offense is built around Puka Nacua.
Correct. Do you know what Puka Nacua is listed as? He's 6'2", 216 pounds. He would already be the Chiefs' biggest receiver. I'm sorry. This is what I'm asking for. This is how I'm trying to calm you down. Hey, offensive line going to continue to improve. Your quarterback, he's going to manage his rehab correctly and hopefully with a new receivers coach, with some modernization.
I can already see what you are setting up. I know it's not you. I can already see it from a mile away.
I can
already hear the Chiefs offseason. The Chiefs are going to sell it. We were right there with the one score games. And we just got to get everybody back healthy. I can already see them. I can't be the only one to see the Chiefs are setting this up. Chiefs are going to bring back Eric Bieniemy. They're going to make everybody back on offense.
Right.
And just everybody's going to be healthy. Everybody's going to be better. And that's going to fix 2026. I can already see.
Just find the
this
next
coming book. A mile away.
Find the next book of the cool. If that's Tate, cool. Take them. I don't care if it's can I say the quiet part out loud? They got to improve the defense real bad. Like, real bad.
I mean, that's what I want them to do with the top two pick. I want them to take a defensive player.
Yeah, go get Bane.
Or take a dog.
Yeah. I don't care who it is. Someone who can press. Like, the quiet part that enough people aren't talking about is their defense is close to being on a cliff, man. And so
their
much.
Their offense isn't close to being on a cliff.
I still have trust in the infrastructure of, well, again, I know Patrick Mahomes is coming off the ACL, but guys, I mean, I know you had Mitch on, and I thought one of his best points was third and long. Hey, bro, you got to rush the passer with four. They don't have two. They have like one and a half on with, and I know George Karlaftis was injured for a duration of this season, but like, how long can Chris Jones keep doing it at a high level? How long can he keep sustaining you to give you at least a chance without Spags having to blitz all the time and then everybody having answers in the second half of the season? Because like, guess what? They're blitzing. I think the offense still gets a lot of the spotlight, and that's okay. But their defense got to get better. It just does, and. Bosa has potential. Noel Williams has potential. What are you going to do with Trent McDuffie? You know, we've talked about him before as a trade chip, obviously. Are you going to give him a contract extension? Who knows? But, guys, I keep – Puka Nacua is incredible. But, like, I just keep looking at him, and I'm just like, where is he in their offense? And –
Yeah, man.
Hey, man, if you want to come back, $13 million right now, because $13 million keeps you in the top five. I don't know. I'm looking at the list right now. I'm like, who's up for an extension that's like a young, up-and-coming?
Game-changing offensive player is what they have.
Right.
They have a group of offensive players.
Correct.
They need a game-changing offensive player.
I think people have forgotten what a talented running back can do for you when you already have a franchise quarterback. I think people have honestly forgot about that. Like, if you just plugged a above average running back in this year's offense, you wouldn't have nearly as much problems as they had this year. No one respected their run, because why would you? They were historically bad at creating any level of explosiveness or 10 chunk yard gains. Like, even getting a 10 yard run was nearly impossible for the group they tried it out there. And of course, we know they didn't give a ton of snaps to Bashard Smith anyway. So their best. Their quickest path to the player you want, Carrington, is at running back.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor. Coming up on the other side, I'll get your thoughts on Wild Card Weekend. We got Nate Taylor in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Nate, maybe there are some older football fans that can attest to this. I don't think we have ever had a wild card weekend in which I can give you a convincing argument of why every team could win.
Sure.
Like, even Carolina. Like, mm-hmm. I think the Rams are better than Carolina. But the Panthers beat the Rams on November 30th. This wasn't like this was some week two.
Right.
They just beat you around Thanksgiving time. They can absolutely beat you now.
And I think from a weather standpoint, it's going to be similar, right? Cold, rainy. Just saying, California team coming all the way across the country.
And I feel like at least once every 3-4 years, there's the team that had the 8-8, 8-9 record that shouldn't win their division that pulls this upset out of nowhere. And then we're all thinking, how did this happen?
Right. Yeah.
It's the Broncos beating the Steelers. Mm-hmm. It's the Seahawks beating the Saints. We see this happen all the time. I'm not picking Carolina, but it can't stun you if Carolina wins this game or not. So let's start with Saturday, and then we'll go to Sunday, and then we'll get your thoughts on Monday as well.
Okay.
I think you got to take the Rams. Uh-huh. I don't know how you can pick Carolina in this game.
Turnovers and weather. That's the only reason. Yeah.
I'm taking Chicago.
Ooh.
I'm taking the Bears on Saturday night.
I wish we knew what version of Jordan Love we were going to get.
That's the million-dollar question. That is the million-dollar question.
I wish we knew, because we have to remind the audience, like, that both of those games were really close. So I won't be surprised if either team wins. It's Caleb Williams' first playoff game, guys. I think we all sometimes forget. First playoff game can be real tricky. Just ask Justin Herbert, guys. Based on health, I think the Bears are a healthier team right now. So I will give my confidence to the Bears.
I think Jacksonville's winning.
Oh, man.
I think Jacksonville is a better team than the Buffalo Bills.
Can I say something out
loud? Yeah, of course.
I think Liam McCoy might be a better coach.
I don't even think you got to say that quietly.
Well, I don't want him to lose his job necessarily. I mean, you know, but like, boy, Josh going to have to do miracles, ladies and gentlemen. And I really mean that. Like, play out of your mind.
Is better than they are. On both sides of the ball, I think their offense is more complete than they are. I think their defense is better. I think it is interesting to me that Green Bay is the favorite on the road and the Bills are not the favorite on the road. Like, you would think Josh Allen playoff experience, you would think that brand of who Buffalo's created over the last, you would think that would get you the slight advantage in the public's eyes. The public is on my side and the Jags are a slight favorite in this one. I think Jacksonville at home, I think they win this game.
I have to. All right, Josh, come on now. We got to get out of the first round. Got to get out of the first round, Josh. And I would tell, because we know Buffalo's defense is not good. Like, let's just be crazy, guys. Like, the Bills' defense, anytime they played anyone of like a worthy caliber, has not looked good, especially on the road. So that does concern me. So if you're Sean McDermott, you got to ride them two horses. James Cook got to get 25 carries. And Josh Allen's got to use his legs, be a dual threat, hopefully not turn the football over, and just say, hey, the AFC is wide open. You know, we're going to have to go on a road to do it. It's possible, but Buffalo has more experience. I'll go with Buffalo. And I.
You didn't say it with a lot of conviction.
Of course not. Again, I don't have to say this quietly. Every time Sean McDermott's teams have lost in the postseason, we went through this before, they've gotten the doors blown off of them where it's like, oh, you gave up 29 points, 30 points, 35 points, 34 points. It's like, aren't you the defensive guy?
I think you're about to see Liam Cohen put on a spectacle. I think you're going to see him put on a spectacle.
If that happens, make the call before they get on the flight. Like, hey, bro, it's been great. You've done a great job. We got to open up a new stadium and in a wide open AFC West, or in a wide open AFC we couldn't get out of the first round? Yeah, bro, it's been great, but nah, you got to make that call.
Niners-Eagles, the Eagles are a big favorite in this game. They're a 6-point favorite in this game. I feel like this is because San Francisco's so banged up.
Correct.
You mentioned not knowing what version of Jordan Love you're going to get. Do you know what version of Jalen Hurts and the Eagles you're going to get? Because the Eagles could win this game 31-10, and it wouldn't just stun me if that's
right,
the case.
Right.
Or the Eagles could score 14 points in the first two possessions and not score for the rest of the game and lose 17-14.
I think this got 17-16 written all over it, kids. I think to your point, what Philly's been doing is scoring early or like controlling the tempo of the game and then hanging on for dear life, kind of similar to the Chiefs last year. So, man, if you could give me a healthy Trent, I don't like, we think Trent Williams is going to play in this game, the amazing left tackle for San Francisco. Like, he is just as important to their offense as Brock Purdy is, which is wild to say, but it's true. If you could guarantee me that Trent Williams and George Kittle were going to be healthy and excellent, then yeah, San Francisco would have a chance. But I'll give Philly the advantage because I just think they can wear the 49ers down over the course of the second half.
Do I trust the Chargers to go from the West Coast to the East Coast?
In prime time, no less.
In prime time, in the cold. And more than anything, it's not me even questioning their toughness. It's just, are they healthy enough win this game? The answer for me is a no. I like New England.
No, I
like New England.
And again, like, I don't think there's really a coaching advantage either way because I have as much respect for Mike Vrabel as I do Jim Harbaugh. I just... And by the way, I know people are like, can Drake May really be the MVP? That remains to be seen, obviously, but... Guys, if you haven't watched the Patriots, this dude's good. And so if he doesn't, similar to Caleb Williams, right, they're probably the two most interesting quarterbacks to watch because you're at home, you're expected to win, you've had a great season so far. Caleb obviously is in year two. Drake May is in year two as well. This is their first time in the playoffs. If they could just get through this game, that would do just a wonders for both franchises. I'll give the benefit to Drake May because I just think he's played really, really well. And outside of, again, turnovers and, I mean, Derwin James is going to have to be amazing in this game because quietly the Chargers don't have a great pass rush either. So I would give the advantage to New England.
We have the game coming up on Monday night between the Steelers and the Texans. It's one of those things where I think it's very obvious that Houston is the best team. But if this was just a regular Monday night game and Houston was going on the road to Pittsburgh, no one would be surprised if Pittsburgh won the home Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, under Mike Tomlin, they've never lost
never.
A Monday night football game.
Correct.
Aaron Rodgers can't move enough for me to pick them to win this game. Like, if you got Danielle Hunter and you got Will Anderson Ooh. And you're just telling them get after the other team's quarterback and it's that quarterback, I don't trust Houston's offense. I think Houston's offense has a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you need a lot of offense to beat the Steelers team. I'm going to take the Texans on the road.
That's fair. Totally fair. Here's what the Houston Texans are going to do every play on defense. Where's DK? Cool. He's now doubled. We're not blitzing, Aaron. I guess it's just you and Pat Freiermuth going to have to figure this out. You and Gainwell going to have to – you better check it down because if not – like, Danielle Hunter is so good. And we ain't even going to talk about Will Anderson because when he's on, my God, he's just as terrifying in some senses as Micah Parsons when Micah Parsons is healthy. So we saw what it did to the Chiefs offense, right? Well, I think the Chiefs have the better tight end. We know they have more speed across the board than what the Steelers represent. Now, I guess if you're Aaron Rodgers – you just split DK out as far to the sideline as possible and say, hey, bro, back shoulders, check downs, hitches, go balls, 50-50 balls. Like, I just got to – they will move you around a little bit. But physically, I'm concerned about how Houston's defense can just physically overwhelm the Steelers. And to your point, man, it's going to be windy. It's going to be cold. It's going to be – whew. It'd be really nice to see Aaron Rodgers play as well as he did in the fourth quarter on Sunday for an entire game in the postseason. That's asking a lot, though. The problem is, Carrington, do you trust Houston's kicker with that wind out there?
No.
So it really is a toss-up in a lot of ways.
I don't even know if I trust C.J. Stroud out there with that wind, to be completely honest with you. That is our guy, Nate Taylor of ESPN, joining us in studio. Nate, man, we appreciate you. Coming up on the other side, I want to go back to something that Nate said. I asked Nate if I gave him $1 million, who does he think the Chiefs offensive coordinator would be? He said Eric Bieniemy. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So drive.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.